bow your heads with me. Father, today as we preach and teach and share this word, I pray for anointing and strength and help. I pray that the righteousness and the love of Christ shine forth through me and that it bear upon the minds and the hearts of every listener today. Whether by Facebook or in the house, Lord, let your spirit and your word touch today in such a mighty and awesome way. Lord, bless this people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, with a message like this, where else would I start? If you were to guess where I'm going to start, the only person in here other than me that knows is Sister Marcella. Maybe Russ. I don't know if he put scriptures in today or not. He might know. But he's probably forgotten by now. John 3:16. It's not that he's forgetful. It's just that I had so many scriptures. Amen? But let's start with John 3:16. Well, Pastor, I don't even need to turn there. Well, it says it like this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you so much that he gave his best. He gave Jesus for you. Amen? When you tell somebody God loves you, you're saying he loves you so much that he gave his Son for you. He gave Jesus the very best so that you could live forever. My wife is not here, but she's blessed into my life through her birthing our daughter and our two sons. But I cannot imagine in my heart. I've tried to imagine. I've tried to comprehend what it would take for me to be willing to say to one of my children, "I want you to die so that J.B. Hudson can live. I want you to die so Sharon..." Come on, somebody. Do you understand? I cannot really get a hold of that in my mind. But God so loved me and you until he gave his Son to die for us so that we could have eternal life. What an awesome thing. You say, but why did God really do that? Because he loves us so much. So much. God loves us. And the dope addict and the drunkard, God loves them. Oh, can I tell you? It may shock you. God loves Vladimir Putin. God loves Joe Biden. Well, I don't like him. Well, that's you and God's business. God loves you. God loves you. People need to know again, in a world that we only love people through social media anymore, people need to know that not only does God love you, but God very personally and adamantly loves you. And we don't deserve God's salvation. When we tell somebody that God loves them, we're really telling them God loves you, but you don't deserve it. Amen? It's entirely his love and his mercy because you don't deserve it. Pastor, I'm a good person. Really? How good are you? Here's what the Bible says, Titus chapter number 3, verse 4 and 5. "But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." God doesn't save us because we do right things. I've heard people tell me, they said, "Well, preacher, I'm going to straighten up and start doing right, and then I'll get in church and get saved." They've got the cart ahead of the horse. You need to get saved and let God clean you up the way he wants to clean you. How many of you guys and ladies that's ever been fishing, how many of you ever cleaned the fish before you put him in the boat? You need to get him in the boat. First, you need to get saved before you get clean. You say, "Well, I'm trying to clean up so I can please God." It'll never happen. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. You will never clean up enough to please God. You've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ because you're unfit and you're unworthy. And without Jesus Christ, you're hell-bent and you're hell-bound. Amen? We don't deserve God's salvation. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of our own works or of our own deeds, lest anybody should boast and say, oh, look at me, how great I am. Titus says it's his kindness, his love, and his mercy. Paul, writing to Titus, says it. Our salvation is entirely, everybody say entirely. It is entirely an act of kindness, mercy, and love on the part of God. And you have to receive that kindness, that mercy, that love. You have to receive that when you receive your salvation. Because you can't earn it. You're not good enough and you don't deserve it. Amen. Don't we live in such a world that has such a mindset of entitlement? We see it in commercials where people are going to file for benefits from the government. I want to get what I deserve. Well, they ought to put you in jail. If I got what I deserve, it'd be worse than jail. But God loved me. Amen? And he loves you. Do you hear what I said? I said that old phrase again. God loves you. God loves you. He loved us even when we were unlovable. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's true love. That's true love. God demonstrated how by giving Jesus to die for our redemption while we were still sinners. Before we straightened up and started doing right, Jesus had already died for us. Amen? Before we started reading the Bible and tithing, Jesus had already died for us. So it's not those things that save us. But it's an act of God's kindness and mercy and love. And he gave his son to be a redemption, to be a redeemer, to be a sacrifice, to be a substitute for us. Amen? He loved us while we were still, if you'll let me say it like this, filthy, dirty, rotten, stinking sinners. Amen? And he loved us. He loved us then. And he loves us now. Tell somebody that God loves you. They need to understand that if God loves you, the God who loves us, all folks don't like this part. They say, but God loves us unconditionally. And yes, he does. But when God loves you, and I'm going to show you Bible for what I'm saying, so if you're prepared to disagree, just forget about it. The God who loves us also calls us to be holy. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To all that are in Rome who are loved by God and called to be holy people, saints. How many of you believe saints are most likely holy people? I mean, you know, I don't know what all it takes as far as in a Roman Catholic church to attain sainthood. But I know through the blood of Jesus Christ, when I put on Jesus and I accept the love of God and I accept that salvation, God in the Word calls me a saint, not by my works of righteousness, but by what Jesus did on the cross for me. And because God loves me, amen, holy people. In these days that we live in, it's fashionable, but it's sad to say even some of the churches minimalize and they ignore, they even mock God's consistent biblical call to being sanctified, to being pure, to being a holy people. Many churches today are living by an unspoken mantra that says that as you want to be as much like the world as you can and still say you're saved, and that way people will fill up your house. Well, that's not what Jesus died to do. Jesus died to change me from the old man that I was into a man that's more like Jesus, that's sanctified, that's set apart for His service, that's set apart for His use, that's set apart for God to do in my life what He wants to do. That's being sanctified. That's being justified, just as if I had never sinned, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the work that He done on the cross for me. Amen? See, but why do people need to be holy? Because God doesn't want an ugly wife. Y'all don't understand that, do you? Do you? We're the bride of Christ. And He wants us to be holy so that He can present us unto Himself without spot, without blemish. Well, Pastor, I can never be holy. You can through Jesus. In Jesus, in obedience to Him. Amen? Listen, I want to tell you something. And so many oft times people still sometimes think that, you know, that I kind of secretly want to be a clothesline preacher. I don't, not really. But I want to tell you something. The attitude of our hearts affects what we'll put on our body. And it'll affect what we don't put on our body. Amen? And Paul writes in another place, he says, "What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost?" I'll leave that right there. Let me move on. He wants to present the church to Himself a radiant church, a glorious church without stain, without wrinkle, or any other blemish. How many of you ever been to a wedding where the bridegroom had on a tux and he was looking really nice, and the woman came in and she was dirty and filthy and was wearing just a burlap sack and, you know, just... You ever went to one of those weddings? Jesus doesn't want that kind of wedding either. So how's the world, listen to me, the world is not equipped and is not able to finance, for lack of a better term, to finance the wedding of Jesus Christ. So he says, "My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver's his and all the gold is his, the cattle's his, everything." One old preacher said, "Even taters under the hills his." The potatoes, for lack, okay? So Jesus just says to the Father, "Father, my bride can never look right. And she doesn't have the money to redeem herself. She doesn't have the ability to fix herself. Can't." He says, "Son, the Father said, I already love her enough. You just go down there and you take care of what's got to be taken care of." He loves me. If He didn't love me, I'd be dead and gone so long ago. How big is His love? You say to somebody, "God loves you." Well, how big is that? Does He just love me now? How big does He love me? It reaches to the heavens. The Bible says so. How many of you have ever get in these competitions with your grandkids whenever, I know y'all do, "I love you to the moon and back. I love you to the Milky Way and back." How much? What'd you say? "I love you more." Yeah, I just tell my grandkids, I said, "I love you like a worm loves dirt." Amen. They used to say, "I love you this much." Somebody said, "That's how much Jesus loves us. That He spread His arms and died for us." How big is His love? Psalms 36 and 5. "Thy mercy," and mercy involves love. Another translation uses the word love here. "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds." Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. You know, y'all, most everybody knows, I have 3 kids. I have 5 biological grandsons, 5 biological granddaughters, 1 adopted grandson. So I have 6 grandsons and 5 granddaughters. I love them. But did you know in the pressures of life sometimes that I get slack about letting those kids know how much Pop loves them? Now, every time I see them and think about it, I try to do my best. But you know, sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get busy. Sometimes I may be a little agitated and edgy. Anybody identify with what I'm saying? But I love them so much. But did you know God never gets distracted from loving us? God never gets so upset and uptight and stressed out until he forgets to show us his love. How big is his love? Well, it fills the heavens. It reaches far as the east is from the west. That's what it means when it says the skies. He loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Amen. So if you're in a relationship or a friendship where somebody says, I don't like you, I don't love you anymore, just tell them God does. See, Pastor, that sounds like kids. We all got to become like children. And God still loves them. Amen. God still loves me. So big that his love is all-encompassing. It knows no bounds. It's not affected or diminished by the trials and the troubles of this world. You cannot deplete God's reservoir of love for you. How many of you ever, I know I'm too old to be doing this stuff, but I still do these kind of things in my life. I'll still sit sometimes with a glass and pour out of, you know, like soda or something like that, and I'll sit where I can see the edge of the glass, and I like to see it right before it spills over. Just playing. Y'all don't do that stuff, do you? Too old and mature. Well, I'm old enough, I may enjoy being a child again. Not really, but you understand. That's how full his love is. Oh, just jiggle it a little. It's coming out all over again. It's coming out all over you. That's how big his love is. Can we count? When we tell somebody God loves you, can we count on God's permanent love? You know how people in relationships, they say, well, I fell in love with them and then I just don't love them anymore. What? Fell out of love with them. That's usually the same crowd that believes in love at first sight. And for those people that believe in love at first sight, you better be careful who you look at. You may fall in love with a homeless person that has no teeth and that stinks. You say, well, I would never do. I had a young lady that used to come to this church told me that. She said was believing in love. I said, you better watch who you see. I said, you may. She said, no, I'd never fall in love with him. I said, how do you know? If you fall in love at first sight. I said, you may love them and you didn't even know you liked them. She looked at me and she said, what? I said, well, just think on it a little bit. I said, love has to be cultivated. But the love of Jesus Christ has been cultivated from before time, from before the foundation of the world. Amen? It's been cultivated, and it is called his unfailing love. Psalms 48 and verse number 9. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Amen. God's love is so big it reaches to the heavens. Well, you can take a balloon and blow it up. They can get balloons that'll fill up this room. You can blow them up that big. Is a balloon very reliable? No, you can stop it with a straight pin. But God's love fills up the universe, and it's undeniable, And it's indestructible. It's unfailing. Come on. Think on it. God loves you. Well, what am I really telling people? You can't run from it and you can't hide from it. It's unfailing. What's God's love do for me then? If God loves me so much, why? God love prompts him to give support to those whose foot is slipping. Amen. Let me read to you. Psalms 94 and verse number 18. I want to give you a little example of this from my life. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Your unfailing love supported me. When I was a kid, I wasn't very big, but I never have been a great swimmer. I can swim a little bit now, but I never have been a great swimmer. But my brothers, two of my brothers and myself, we went up to a guy's swimming pool. You know, and I fully understood that I needed to stay in the shallow end. But how many of you know that sometimes kids, watch my feet right here, do this. And the pool began to slope. And chlorine in a pool can become slick sometimes. The bottom of the pool's not textured and stuff. Well, here I went. In the deep. Well, I wasn't too far from the edge, but I was far enough, I panicked. My brother Tim, I got to thinking about it. He saved my life more than one time. My brother John's at the other end of the pool, but my brother Tim's right there pretty close. And you know, brothers, they take care of each other, but they don't always respond just like, you know, the rest of the world does toward brothers. So I'm splashing about and feeling like I'm drowning and I can't even holler help and I'm just blah, 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 blah. How many of you can holler but I'll keep it on the water? I said, Pastor, you can't. Listen, I got to keep your attention somehow. So he's just there and all he does, Sister Deborah, is he just shoved me. And I encountered the side of that pool. And I just reached up and got a hold of the side of that pool. And I was thankful that when I slipped into the deep end, that there was a brother. How many of you know that the Bible says that Jesus is like an elder brother to us? Amen. Now, he may be a little more loving and kind, but the saving is no more real. Listen. He's there to help you. Amen. And that's Jesus. And he'll help you when your foot slips. He'll help you when you get in trouble. He'll help you. Whether it's a natural slip, whether it's an emotional, whether it's spiritual, whatever. There is a loving God in heaven. And because of his unfailing love, he will support you. He'll lift you up when you bog down. Call him. It may sound like you're drowning, but call him. He loves you, and he will help you. Amen? So when you tell somebody God loves you, you tell them God will help you. You're never alone. Amen? Romans chapter number 8, verse 38 and 39, you've heard this passage many times. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nowhere on earth, nowhere in heaven, There is nowhere, the Bible says that even if you are in the depths of Hades, that God's love still reaches you. Do you understand that? That every person who's ever died and went to hell or will, he loves them. That's part of the torment of eternity, is knowing that a person is in hell and they didn't have to be there, that God had sent his son, they could have been saved, they could have been redeemed, they could have been on their way to heaven, but they rejected that knowledge, they rejected that Christ, they rejected that hope, they rejected that peace, they rejected that unfailing love. Isn't that a terrible torment? So nothing can separate you or move you to a place where God doesn't love you. God loves drug addicts. God loves Muslims. God loves Hindus, Krishnas, heathens, rednecks. It's a good thing, isn't it? God loves you. Amen? He is a perfect father. And he is inseparably tied, heart to heart, to his children. There's times when my children, they're all three adults now, but there's times when they call me almost in tears, and they said, "Dad, I just knew I needed to call you today. I want to tell you I love you." There's times when I call them with the same message. That love is unbreakable. That love is inseparable. And if we then, being evil, know how to give good gifts or how to give love to our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give to us? Jesus loves you. Oh, listen, that's almost like saying in Jesus' name. People don't understand what they're saying. You're releasing the love of God on that person. And the love of God, if it ever gets a hold of a person, it'll never, ever let them go. God loves people. There is no devil, no evil person, or anything else that can separate you from the unfailing love of God. Pastor, is that eternal security? No. Your choice, your decision. But the love will still be there. No matter what choice or decision you make, he'll still love you. Amen? I'm trying to hurry. You know, you say to some people, well, God loves you, and they're like, well, if God loves me, then he wouldn't be disciplining me. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Lord disciplines those that he loves. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, writing here, and the wisest man, he said, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." A good father's love will train and discipline their children. God the Father does the same thing. If you're feeling the Lord's chastening, take it. Learn from it. Respect it. And grow from it. Don't leave church. Don't leave God. Don't leave your family. Learn from what God is doing in your life. God wants the best for his children. Did you know I talk to people who claim to be Christians, Brother Bobby, and some of them act like that they just really don't believe that God wants the best for them. They think God's just playing with them like some of the Greek gods of mythology, you know, and would do. And all. Our God doesn't do that. If God does something and allows something in your life, his motivation is always because he loves you. His motivation was not to punish you. His motivation is to discipline and teach you and draw you closer to him. That's why Romans 8, 28 really works, is because those things that even seem evil to us, God will turn them and make them to work for our good so that we can have a better relationship and a better knowledge of who He is. You know, I'd be disappointed that y'all not saying amen and hallelujah, but some of you seem like you're really listening to what I'm saying. So you just keep listening. I'm okay. You don't have to say amen. Just say it anyway. Just make me feel better. All right. But this love that He has for us will cause Him to correct us. Well, I love my kids, and I don't want them to feel bad, so I just let them play in the road. No. God loves us enough to consider believers to be His children right now. 1 John 3:1. Watch this. I'm getting close to being done. Behold, what manner of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or daughters of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. John says it is a great love that the Father has lavished on us. How? By making us His children. Not in some indeterminate future time. Can I say it like this to you? I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Whew. I didn't do it myself. Everything I've told you is because God loves me and He saved me. And He called me His very own. And He didn't just say, you're part of my camp and you're just part of my... No. He said, you're one of my children. He said, if anybody ever says, why do you call God Father? Well, what else would a child call their father except Father? I call Him Father. I call Him Lord. I call Him. Oh, and I want to call Him every day. Somebody ought to say, I need to call my Father right now. I need to just talk to Him now. Not your earthly Father, but your heavenly Father. God is love, and He showed us that love by sending His Son. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son. That's almost where we started, isn't it? Into the world that we might live through Him. The God that loved us backed it up. How many of you know actions speak louder than words? God said He loved us and He sent His Son. No greater gift, no better gift, no more precious thing than Jesus. Man was in sin and was separated from God and could not get back. And God said there must be a Redeemer. And the Son said, Father, I'm in agreement. And the Son said, I will go. And the solution for the sin sickness of humanity is God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And He bore my guilt upon that cross. And He nailed my sin upon that cross. He became sin for me. One who knew no sin became sin, that I, who was born and conceived in sin, could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus through the blood and the work of the cross. You ought to give the Lord a praise for it today. Amen. God's Son is the solution. Amen. Let me just close with this last one. So if you're not a Christian, you know by now that God loves you and you need to be a Christian. But let me address one other classification of people. God's love accepts all backsliders who return to Him. You've all heard the story of the prodigal son, found in Luke 15, 11 through 32. But I want to read verse 20 through 24 from that story. For sake of time, I won't review it all. But this young man, the Bible says he's come to himself. Now, he left the house of blessing. He left his connection with his father. But down in that pig pen, it said he came to himself. It's time that somebody come to their self. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. A final word to those that are not in a right relationship with God. You say, I'm a Christian. But you know in your heart of hearts your relationship's not what it should be. Notice the father's reaction. When that repenting son appeared way down the road, I see that dad. He'd gotten up that morning and got dressed for the day, and maybe had on his robe that he wore over his regular clothes, but he sees that son. He said, I know that figure. That's my boy. And that father starts running. I see that outer coat fall off of him on the road. And I see him when he gets within arm's reach. There's no stopping. It's just a bump. Just a hug. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And I picture that dad just squeezing that son, kissing him on the neck, pulling back and looking at his face. Saying, son, I wasn't sure I'd ever see you again. He's saying, Dad, I'm not worthy. He says, son, don't worry. It's all gonna be okay. Stand with me. He called for the servants. He said, look, my son's been without for a while. He said, let's put a covering over him. Go get a robe. Respect, give him honor. This is my son. If you're a backslider, you're living outside of that sonship. Not because you have to, but because you need to come to yourself. You need to come to your senses and know that I can go to my father and I can be in his house and he'll restore me. Because, do you know why? He loves me. He loves me. If you want to run to him at the altar, you can. If you want to run to him spiritually where you are, just run to him. You went, Pastor, I haven't sinned. I'm not backslidden. Sometimes I just need time in my Father's arms, not just because I need the strength of it. I just need to know. I just need to hear Him tell me I love you. I love you. I love you. I come to tell you. God loves you, and I come to explain it to you. God loves you. When the Bible says in Isaiah, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. The motivation of that is that He loves us. Heart's not where it should be with Jesus, would you please ask Him to forgive you? Again, you can walk the aisle as an act of faith, or you can take care of that right where you are, but you need to tell somebody that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That father, that natural earthly father that we see in the story, he didn't know where his son was when his son was in the pig pen. He didn't know where he was those nights that he lay drunk, partying with his friends. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and He said, but I knew where he was. He said his natural father didn't know where it was. He said, but I knew where it was. And he said, when he was drunk on the ground, he said, I leaned down over him. This is what the Holy Ghost just told me. He said, I leaned, you can't prove it wrong according to Scripture. Holy Spirit leaned down over him and said, your Father loves you. Nothing happened. He winds up down in the pig pen. And the Holy Ghost said, I stood with him in the mud of that pig pen. He said, I walked with him down that road coming home. He said, and I put my hand on the shoulder of his natural father that he didn't stumble and fall on the way to embrace his son. He said, and through everything you've been through every trial, through every failing, through every shortcoming, he said, I've been there to whisper in your ear. Can I go? Oh, whoa. He loved us when we done things we're embarrassed to talk about. And he whispered, go to your father. Not a biological, not a doctor, but the heavenly. He's walked with me and he's kept me. God wants to tell you one more thing right now. God wants to tell you this. And please hear it. It's not my voice. It's my voice, but it's not my words. God says, I truly love you. I truly love you. I've known you from the womb, says the Lord. And he says, and there's never been a day I didn't love you. He said, I have set my love upon you for your good. He said, I've set my love and my affection upon you to bless you. He said, I declare to you even again today that it's my desire that I would give you the kingdom. He said, but you need to fully accept my son. He said, through my son, you have my kingdom. Through my son, you have the expression of my love. And the Father says, today, I truly love you. Just lift your hand. Just let it flow into you. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Sometimes you need to get your own words out of the way. And just let him flow into you. Just let him soak you. Let him feel you. Jessica, how many times you felt like what I'm talking to right now? He said, I truly love you. Amen. Others in this house, you felt neglected and forgotten. Maybe even by me, but I'm telling you, don't put your expectation in me. On my best day, the capability to fail is in me. But he cannot fail. His love is unfailing. And he loves you. Amen. Wow. If that doesn't stir you, your spoons fell out of your bowl. Stirs me. He loves me when nobody else loves me. I just don't want to leave what I feel right this minute. I just don't want to stop right now. You're just going to worship God. Just love him. I'm afraid afraid if I walk out the doors, I'm going to have to feel the hate of the world again. And I'm going to have to feel the confusion that life brings. But right now, I just feel the completeness of being in the Father's presence. God bless you. Be here tonight, church at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. The stage is set right now for an awesome move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you.